Psalms chapter 56, if you would, and look with me this morning in verse number 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. The human penman here in Psalms 56 is David. David was the youngest son of Jesse the Bethlehemite. David's household chore was watching over the sheep. David, as a teenage boy, was out in the field doing his duty one day, watching the sheep and taking care of them as he had so many times before. But on this day, to his surprise, he was beckoned to come home. He went home and walked into the house, and there was his father Jesse, and there was the prophet Samuel. As David walked in, God confirmed on the heart of the prophet Samuel that this is the one. To David's surprise, David was anointed the next king of Israel. Some believe 16, 17, 18 years of age. That was an amazing day. David going back to care for the sheep, still trying to figure out what just happened and what does this mean for his future. David continued to serve his father faithfully, and we read in the scripture that there was a time where a lion came to devour sheep and David killed it, and a bear came and David killed it. David was sent by his father to check on his brothers when Israel went to war with the Philistines. David took the food and he heard this man named Goliath. Goliath was defying God, was cursing God, was cursing the children of God. And David heard these words and he was just heart sunk as he heard the defying of the Lord. And he said, "Is there not a cause?" He was mocked for it. But David went to the king and said, "I want to face Goliath." You know the story. With a sling and some stones in his hand, David enters into the valley of Elah. And David puts that rock in that sling and he lets her fly. And the Lord guides it to the forehead of Goliath. And Goliath falls down face first. I love the next part. David runs up to Goliath and he pulls that sword out from Goliath. And he chops his head off and he's showing it to the whole Philistine army. An incredible victory. Saul learned of David's future, anointed to be his successor. Saul began to grow paranoid. As they would return from battle, the people would sing, "Saul hath slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Saul became literally mentally incapable of dealing with the thought that his reign would be over, that David would take over, and that that may be greater than what he had accomplished. And he went into literally a season of insanity, and he was obsessed with killing David, even one time in his own palace, taking a javelin and thrusting it in David's direction. David fled the palace. David fled Israel. David was afraid. Saul had made known he wanted David's life. Saul had sent parties out for him. In fact, as you read and study the story, at times the entire army was involved in looking for David to kill him. Now, David expressed incredible faith the day that he stood in the valley of Elah toe-to-toe with Goliath. But when we come to Psalms 56, we do not find David in the grip of faith. We find David in the grip of fear. David is afraid. Saul is seeking to kill him. Saul is sending search parties out to find him. There's a bounty on his head. His life is wanted and he is running, trying to survive. In this midst of fear, David makes some terrible mistakes. One, he goes to the land of Philistia. Now, Philistia was the home of the Philistines. It was the enemy. It was a picture of the world. It was certainly no place that David should be going to find any help for his troubles, but it's exactly where he went because he wasn't thinking clearly. He was gripped with fear. David is in Philistia, and he goes to the city of Gath. Of all the places he could have gone, he goes to the city of Gath, which happened to be the hometown of Goliath. Could you imagine David coming into Gath, the hometown of Goliath, and people seeing him there? This was the boy who killed their chosen soldier. He was as wanted there as a skunk would be in a perfume factory. I mean, nobody wanted to see David. David makes his way into that city. It's not soon until he's arrested. He's imprisoned. And no doubt the people and soldiers of Gath are in great excitement. They have him in their custody. Under their order, they have the young man who slain their Goliath, who took down their army, who sent them scattering, who gave them the greatest defeat in their country's history. Now they have him. He's in the prison cell. And no doubt even the men guarding the door and walking up and down the chambers, maybe men who lost a brother or a father or a son in that battle in the Valley of Elah. And there they are, so grateful and excited. Now we have David. They went to King Achish, the king of the city of Gath, and they said to him, we've got to kill David. We can't trust him. He cannot leave here alive. We need to kill him. Now David was really in a spot. And if you study the life of David, he's been in these before. King Saul wants him dead. Israel is looking for him to take his life. Now, for no good reason, he's in Gath, the Philistia, and King Achish wants him dead. The people of Gath want him dead. Here's the man who took their Goliath, and here's their opportunity to settle the score. David is arrested in fear. At every turn, there is death surrounding him. Everybody wants him gone. With that as the backdrop, Psalms 56 comes into reality. For Psalms 56 is the prayer that David prayed to God from that cell in the prison of Gath. David, gripped by fear and uncertain of what tomorrow would hold, takes a moment to go to God. I'm grateful indeed that David did. It was delayed, but it was still the right thing to do. And it reminds you and I the necessity of any time that we are afraid or that we are in trouble of going to God. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Psalms 46:1 reminds you and I that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So David goes to God in Psalms 56, and in verse 3 he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid. King Saul wants my life. Israel is looking for me to kill me. King Achish is under pressure that I would die here. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Boy, in times like you and I are living this morning, it's easy to be afraid, is it not? Reminds me of the story of the two men from the local gas company. One was kind of a senior technician doing some training. One was a new hire in probation and receiving the instruction. They got to a particular alley and they were going to go down and check the meters of a good number of homes. They parked the truck. They began their way checking meter by meter. The training employee giving the newbie all the instruction and how to do it. They got to the very end of the alley and they were checking the last meter. There was a lady at home. She was there in the kitchen doing some dishes. She could see out the window the two men checking the meter. The technician was teaching the trainee how to do it and showing him how. And then as they concluded their time of checking the meters, he, for fun, said to the trainee, hey, I'll race you to the truck. Boom, they took off, both of them running as fast as they could to the truck to see who would win. Just as they reached the truck, to their amazement, there was this woman behind them running and puffing. And they looked back and they said, ma'am, what is wrong? And she said, I don't know, but when I see two guys from the gas company running away from my house, I'm running with them. And you know what? That describes some of the fear of today, does it not? Are you afraid? Yes. What of? I don't know. But everybody else is afraid, so I am too, you know. Like a few months ago, why are you buying so much toilet paper? I don't know. But everybody else is, so I got to get mine, you know. And thank you for stop doing that so we can finally get some at our house. But anyway. When we see others afraid, it's easy to become afraid. Kids, have you been afraid that maybe you're not going to go back to school and see your friends? For some, you might be afraid you have to go back to school. Might be some parents afraid, have I exposed my kids to a virus? Or have I sheltered them too much? Some afraid that, how am I going to pay my bills? Is my job secure? My health, my safety, my relationships. How about my future? David said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Gabe, is it possible for the same person to have fear and faith? Absolutely. David is a great Bible example of that. We can study in David's life exactly what happens when somebody is in conflict internally with their fear and their faith. And all of us may face times in life where we too are in conflict, fear versus faith. And we must make the choice, am I going to lean into my fear and my faith diminish? Or am I going to lean into my faith and overcome my fear? The Bible says that perfect love casteth out fear. And yes, there will be times when we are conflicted with fear and faith. But I want to preach this morning a message entitled, What Happens When Fear Meets Faith? Because I would submit to you this morning, as believers in Christ, it is imperative that our faith shines in this desperate hour. We've taught our children this verse, Psalms 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. When they were little and they would go to bed and there would be fear about the dark or what was under the bed or what was in the closet or what might happen or what some sibling might do or whatever. And we would come in that moment and we would remind, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And they would memorize the verse. Susanna one time painted it on the ceiling above the bed and something that they could meditate on, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. It's a great promise. You know, as they got older and as we've worked with adults, the question's been asked, how do I do that? Okay. And what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. That sounds good. I want to do it, but how? What does that look like? How do I live that this week? And I believe David in verse 4 teaches us how. I want you to see with me this morning briefly three powerful components to David's faith. I see, first of all, this morning, the object of his faith. In verse 4, David says, in God I will praise his word. Now again, understand with me, here's David in a cell in the prison of Gath. Here is David with King Achish under great pressure that he would kill David. King Saul has already made known he wants David dead. And David, with all of this pressure and with all of this fear and with all of this anxiety and with all of this uncertainty, says, God, I will praise your word. I believe David internally was saying, God, I'm sorry. How have I forgotten that day at home when Samuel anointed my head with oil? How have I forgotten the communion that we had out on the grazing fields as I watched over the sheep? God, how have I forgotten your promises and your goodness in my life? God, I'm sorry. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. And I am going to praise your word. And I challenge all of us this morning to understand the vital component of praising the word of God. I'm so thankful this morning that you and I hold in our hands a copy of God's inspired and preserved word. And we're reminded this morning that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Amen. You and I hold an incredible, valuable asset and gift from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is indeed His Word. And David took time to remember the promises of God. David wrote in Psalms 34:17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Friend, can I remind you today that a quiet morning with a loving God puts the events of an upcoming day into proper perspective. David said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee, and God, I will praise his word. George Mueller was known for his faith, confided, the first 3 years after I was converted, I neglected the word of God. Since I began to search it diligently, the blessing has been wonderful. I have read the Bible through 100 times and always with increasing delight. And you and I, as we spend time in the Word of God, need to take it with us each and every day. D.L. Moody said every Bible should be bound in leather, shoe leather. Now God and His Word is our source of absolute truth. It's amazing through this pandemic, all the things that we've heard from this side and that side, this opinion and that opinion, this cure and this idea. And there's information everywhere. And sometimes it's hard to know, what can I believe? And friend, can I remind you this morning, you and I hold in our hands absolute truth. No matter what we're facing, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what tomorrow holds, the Word of God never changes. It's relevant. It's applicable. It will help us, comfort us, and guide us through each and every day. Amen. But like Peter, sometimes we get our eyes on the waves and the storms. We get our eyes off the Savior and His Word. And I remind you and I this morning that we will never have victory aside from God and His Word and the filling of His Spirit and His power. We are too frail on our own to walk victoriously. We must have God. David said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee and God. I will praise His Word." The object of his faith was the Word of God. But I see this morning as he spent time in the Word of God, as he spent time in this object, it changed his outlook. Notice the outlook of his faith in verse number 4. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee and God. I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust." Wow. As David spent some time in the presence of God, as David spent some time in the Word of God, as David spent some time rehearsing the promises of God. Boy, I remember God's promises. I remember His anointing. I remember His purpose. I remember the mission that He's given to me. And as David took time to look at it through that lens, the outlook then changed. "In God I have put my trust." The psalmist is now convinced that the only one who can help him is God alone. He had faith in God. Where did David get this idea? From God's Word. From rehearsing the promises of God. And friend, you and I need faith today more than we ever have before. And we are reminded this morning that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I commend you for being here this morning. And I encourage you to tune in tonight at LBClive.tv and Wednesday night, and next Sunday to be here, and every day in between to be in your own private place with an open copy of the Word of God and getting the promises of God, renewing your heart, and then saying, "Hey, I can put my trust in God. Whatever I face today, God indeed can handle it." Faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. God wants us to place our faith and trust in Him. God wants us to believe that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. "And you are of God, little children, who have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." God sent me here this morning to remind you He is still God. And He can handle it. David said, "I'm going to praise His Word." David said, "I'm going to trust my God." Can I encourage you this morning to take time every day to praise God? We are surrounded by all the problems. What's the virus count? What's the restrictions? What's the limitations? What can I do? What can I not do? What's the look of the economy or the election? And at every turn, there's some reminder of some problem or something. And can I just encourage you to set all that aside for a few minutes each day and just to take time to praise God? To remember that God loves you. And He proved it with the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, who left heaven's glory and came to this earth born of a virgin, living a perfect life, and He at the end of His life laid it down for you and I that our sins might be paid, and died on the cross and shed His blood, but 3 days and three nights later rose again from the dead, gaining victory over sin and death, that you and I might have an eternity in heaven. Can we just take time to praise God for that? Amen. Can we take time to praise God for our health? Yeah. I walked to this service on my own 2 feet. My 2 hands work. I have 2 eyes that can see and 2 ears that can hear and a mind that can reason most of the time. I live in America, which I still believe is the greatest country on the planet. I'm grateful for Lancaster Baptist Church. I'm grateful for our pastor. I'm grateful for his leadership and his integrity in ministry. I thank God for my wife and my 4 wonderful children. And I could go on and on and on with the goodness of the Lord and things to praise Him for. And can I just encourage you to take some time every day to praise God? Because as you do, it will make trusting Him so much easier. Amen. To review the goodness of the Lord and to praise Him. David said, in what time I'm afraid, I will trust in him. David, how do you do it? Well, the object of his faith, the promises of God, the word of God. The outlook of his faith then altered. I can put my trust in God. Think about it before this prayer. That's not what David had been doing. David took matters into his own hands. David made his way to Philistia. David made his way into the city of Gath. David now finds himself in prison. In fact, he took matters into his hands so much that literally while in prison, fearful of the pressure that King Achish was under to kill him, he pretended to be insane. The Bible says while in prison, he would scratch at the doors and spittle would run out of his mouth and down his beard. And the guards would run to the king and say, King, David is mad. He's insane. You mean the same young man that stood in the valley of Elah, toe-to-toe with Goliath, and told Goliath before he killed him that he was going to kill him because he had God on his side? You mean that same David was in a prison cell? Literally acting insane? Scratching at the door? Spittle running down his beard? Friend, that is a vivid illustration of the extent that we will go when we are driven by fear. When fear grips our life, when we take matters into our own hands, when we begin to handle the circumstances around us, it's amazing how far we will go. But David, in a moment of restoring his faith before the Lord, says, God, I'm sorry. He remembers the word of the Lord. He places his faith and trust in God. He's praising God for who he is. And I want you to see this morning, after that altered outlook, I see the outcome of his faith. He says in verse number 4, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Wow, what a 180. What a change of perspective and paradigm and attitude and spirit. David said, I am going to praise my God in his word. I am going to trust in my God. And I believe that my God will deliver me. Gabe, what happened in that cell in Gath? David brought his problems, his troubles, his fear and his anxiety into the presence of God. And David literally watched his troubles dissolve away. And David watched God high and lifted up. David remembered the goodness and promises of God. And David said, God, I place my trust in you. Friend, the Bible says the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Hebrew said, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Friend, can I remind you this morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, do not forget about the sovereignty of God. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I don't have to worry about it because God does. And God is still sovereign. God is still in control. He's in authority. He's on the throne. And I can trust him. And you can trust him. And we can rest in uncertain, troubled times in the sovereignty of God. What is God's purpose and plan? Well, for anyone here this morning or watching online who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, God's plan is for you to be saved. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. God gave his life for you, and God wants an eternity with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I plead with you today to receive him as Savior, to confess that you need him, to ask him to pay for your sins and to take you to heaven for all of eternity. But for those in this gathering or online who know Jesus Christ as Savior, you know heaven as your home. This Spirit of the Lord resides in your being this morning. What is the Sovereign's will for you? The Sovereign's will for you is to bring him honor and glory, to please him every single day, to tell everybody that you can about him, and to live in the remembrance that you are in the hands of God. God's got Allstate beat by a mile. You are in the hands of God, and you're going to be okay. David said, I'm not going to fear what flesh can do to me. I have God. Amen. Yeah, but with all this uncertainty and I don't know what's going to happen. Friend, listen. My Bible says the same thing yours does. It is appointed unto man once to die and after this the judgment. What does that mean? It means this. Gabriel has a death date. I don't know what it is. God does. I kind of hope it's not today, but that's in the Lord's hands. But there's nothing I can do to change it. Now, I'm not advocating that I should run through the ICU filled with coronavirus patients with no proper protective gear just to test the grace and mercy of the Lord. But I also should not live in fear at every turn of every day of what might happen. Because if I do that, I am living void of the fact that I serve a sovereign God. God is sovereign. He's on the throne. He can handle it. And I am in His hands and I am protected. David said, I'm not going to fear what flesh can do to me. Well, David must have been out of the prison cell when he got to that point. No, he wasn't. He was in the middle of that prison cell in the city of Gath, his life on the line. But it came to the point, I can't do anything about it anyway. God, I'm not going to be afraid. Theologian A.W. Pink said, as one sees the apparent defeat of the right and the triumphing of might of the wrong, it seems as though Satan were getting the better of the conflict. But as one looks up instead of around, there is plainly visible to the eye of faith a throne. And this then is our confidence that God is still on the throne. And this morning, Lancaster Baptist Church and those viewing by way of live stream, I remind you that God is still on the throne. Amen. Corrie ten Boom, who helped many Jews escape the Nazis during the Holocaust of World War II by taking her own life at great risk and hiding them in her home, said, if you look at the world, you will be distressed. If you look within, you will be depressed. But if you look at God, you will be at rest. Friend, are you at rest today? Are you at rest in the hands of an almighty and sovereign God? May you and I, in the time that we're afraid, trust in Him. What is that? It's time in God's Word. It's praising the never-failing promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's then a faith in God's power. Whatever it is that we're going to face, God can handle it. It is nothing for Him. And what does that bring about in our hearts and lives? A peace in God's protection. I don't have to live in fear. Because I am living with the Lord. This morning, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? And if you do not, would you trust Him today? And if you do, would you thank Him for His love and His relationship with you? And can I encourage all of us this week who know the Lord, let's not lean into our fear and watch our faith dissolve. Let's lean into our faith and watch our fear disappear. Let's live in the peace of the sovereignty of God. And let's see beyond the circumstances and problems that we've been thinking about. And let's see the need of the whole world. And that is to hear of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may this week, while we're living in different times, we take some gospel tracks and be determined. Whoever I cross paths with, a coworker, a neighbor, someone at a grocery store, at a gas station, I'm going to invite them to church. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Because I want them to have what God has given to me. And what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee.